The one and only Mr. Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. Dunny, how are you, my man?
I'm doing good, but you might want to tell your listeners that 31 after about six holes.
Oh, see, I didn't realize that. That's not what they told
something
me.
To it. I was really impressed. I was like, wow.
I mean, so that may not be as impressive. However, I have also heard, and maybe you can confirm this, that you shot a 23 or maybe it was a 22 at the Jungle Lagoon.
That is actually closer to the number, yeah, something along those lines, absolutely.
Well, you're a mini golf champ, so I would expect you to shoot 22 or 23 at the Jungle Lagoon.
Myrtle Beach is a golf capital world. It's also one of the mini golf capitals of the world, and it's a lot of fun out there.
I don't know if you heard this or not, but I beat Matt Douglas in mini golf at the Space Odyssey or whatever it was down in Medina about
no
3 or 4 months ago. There is proof of that. If I need to get definitive visual evidence plus a witness that saw all of this go down, we're going to get our engineer Terry Zevnik in here because he saw this all go down. I was promised a mint chocolate chip milkshake, and that was 4 or 5 months ago. So now I'm beginning to wonder
when
if
was
I'm
that?
Ever
November,
going
December?
To get. It was early November.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we were down at Castle Noel.
I don't recall it.
And they've got the alien super space mini golf.
Hey, we're going to have to make a visit trip back out there. They've done some different things. I think it was probably set up in your favor.
How do you set up mini golf in one's favor?
I don't know.
All right. Well, Duddy.
Better with the 3D than I am.
Maybe Matt's just waiting for that double or nothing bet.
Yeah, right, that's exactly enough. It. I'm hustling him.
Well, Medina's close to halfway between here and Columbus, so maybe we'll make you part of that as well. When we go back
right
down there, we play some mini golf again. If you shot 22 or 23 at the Jungle Lagoon, my guess is you're going to do pretty well at the Space Odyssey. So on to bigger orders of business, my friend. Last week,
yes, sir. We
did not have you on the show. You were very, very busy last Thursday because it was Ohio State's Pro Day. And because the NFL draft consumes a lot of what is discussed in sports these days, especially this time of the year, Pro Days have become a very, very big deal. Going back to that Pro Day last week, we saw some of the videos and we read some of the reports. But as you were out there talking to some of these guys, Dunny, who were the guys that really stood out to you the most?
Obviously, the biggest name that impressed me was Denzel Ward, the cornerback, obviously at Ohio State, or a former Buckeye, I should say. Sounds weird to say. He played really well. He did a great job at all of his individual drills. And then Coach Matt Patricia for the Lions and Coach Bill Belichick, obviously the Patriots, they actually put all the defensive backs and all the linebackers / defensive linemen through their own sets of drills on the side while other groups were working out, and he also flashed and impressed in those. He had a one-on-one conversation with Mike Tomlin there out in the field, just saying, hey, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. A lot of people have Denzel Ward as the number one cornerback, defensive back in the draft, and he definitely proved why there on last weekend during OSU's Pro Day.
Everybody wants to know how JT Barrett projects at the next level. What are some of the things you noticed about him at that pro day? Because I think he's going to be a guy I think that people in this area will look at very, very closely. I don't know how high he goes. I haven't seen where he projects exactly. But how did he look last week?
Last week he looked good, especially when he was throwing to three of the four players he was throwing to. He had never really thrown to before. A kid was from Urbana, a kid was from Otterbein. He had Marcus Baugh, his tight end, there at Ohio State. And he also had Brian Hartline, former Buckeye, now works with the team a little bit, and former NFL wide receiver. So he was throwing to these guys. They worked out a couple times beforehand. But if you take all that into consideration, he looked pretty good. Still has to work on some footwork. I would like to see him more throw from under center, since obviously we all know what he can do from out of the shotgun, but out of this under center is a little bit more of a mystery. Everywhere I look and see, I see him projected as a third day draft pick, somewhere, you know, late sixth, early seventh round, and a possible free undrafted free agent.
See, that's interesting. The fact that he was throwing to so many different guys, a guy from Urbana, a guy from Otterbein. It's always odd when you see something like that pop up at a pro day, because these pro days are specifically designed for these guys to put their best foot forward. So it's a little strange to me that he'd be throwing to guys that he's not necessarily familiar with. Why was he throwing to guys like that?
Because nobody from Ohio State came out of college into the draft. From the receiving corps, you know, everybody stayed. Terry McLaurin, Paris Campbell, you name it. KJ Hill, you name it. They stayed, and so therefore they had to bring in other kids and other guys to have JT throw to. He can't throw to current players on the roster because that'd be considered a violation of NCAA rules.
That blows me away. That's a violation of NCAA rules that those guys are just out there to help him during his pro day.
Yep. You name it, everything's pretty much, you know, they can be out there and watch, but they cannot participate.
Huh. Okay. I mean, I think that's dumb. Maybe I'm in the minority there. I just think that's the stupidest thing on the face of the earth, that those guys are just out there to help them. But okay, whatever. I mean, neither here nor there.
I'm with you. I completely agree. It would have been great to see him out there. And not to say JT didn't do a great job, but maybe they were a little bit conservative in all the routes that he was throwing.
Sure. No, and it's, look, I think it's cool for the guys that he was throwing to. I mean, I think it at least allows the kid from Otterbein and the kid from Urbana to develop at least a little bit of a profile. I mean, that's a great opportunity for them. I just don't know that that's necessarily fair to JT Barrett, since he's not throwing to guys he's really familiar with. So I mean, I think that's at least a little bit unusual. Again, we're talking with Sean Dunnigan, WBNS-TV in Columbus, here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, let's transition into something that the current players can't participate in. These lovely spring practices, which seem to be gaining notoriety year after year. I think these big schools certainly seem to love them. The more I talk to the smaller colleges, they really grow to hate these things for whatever reason. I think, you know, with all the injury concerns factored in here, there is obviously a lot of cause for concern. But for some of these bigger schools, and obviously Ohio State certainly fits into that category, you know, the fan base really seems to get behind these things, that they're looking to itch that college football fix. I mean, that's one way of doing it. What are some of the biggest storylines at spring practice so far?
Well, obviously the biggest storyline is coming out of spring practice right now with Ohio State is the quarterbacks and how that competition is going. Urban Meyer talked to the media on Monday and pretty much said that, you know, it's still in anybody's race. He says that once he starts to think somebody's pulled ahead, somebody else either gets back up to that point or even surpasses them. And so that's going to be something to keep an eye out on all spring, including the spring game. The big news, and you mentioned injuries with spring practice, is Tough Borland, the Buckeyes starting middle linebacker, the only middle linebacker coming back for Ohio State that started. He suffered an Achilles injury during spring practice. He's out for the remainder of practice, but as Urban Meyer said, he should be good to go for the season. He's really been replaced a lot by Justin Hilliard and Keandre Jones and Malik Harrison. Malik Harrison out of Columbus, Ohio. They're starting on the outside linebackers. So there's your starting linebackers right now. You'll see a lot of them during the spring game. But losing Tough Borland is a big issue for Ohio State. Especially if it creeps into the season. But as Urban Meyer said, he doesn't believe that's to be the case.
Well, Dunny, we'll talk more about these spring practices and some of the battles and some of these guys that have had a chance to kind of highlight themselves during the spring practice in the coming weeks. But we'll finish it by talking hoops again, because this will probably be the last time we talk hoops for a while. A lot of our hoops discussions this year have revolved around Kata Bates-Diop and what a wonderful season he had. He's entering the NBA draft. Any early word as to where he might go or where they may project him to go after the outstanding season he just had?
Yeah, he said in his press conference on Monday as well that he's being looked at as a late first-round pick. This is really the first time he's even tested the NBA draft waters. You know, a lot of players in college, for instance, Nick Ward came out today, and it was reported that he's going to put his name into a pool of players just to see where he projects. Players in college can do that as long as they don't hire an agent, and then they can make their decision whether they want to come back or go pro. Kata Bates-Diop did that. He came back with a late first-round draft pick status, and he said, you know what? That's good. That's good for me. And he thinks that he can be a stretch four in the NBA. He proved he can play three positions. He can play both forward positions. He did play a little bit of center this year for the Buckeyes when they went small. He averaged over a block and a half a game, so he can guard some big guys. He's a very lanky guy. I think he can do really well, especially as he learns to develop on a bigger name team that has a lot of experience. He can learn on somebody's bench out there in the league.
Sure.
Yeah, no question about that.
Real quick, Dunnigan, before you go, I got to ask you, Ohio State Buckeyes knock off the defending national champion Denver Pioneers. They win their regional championship. They're headed to the national championship in hockey. The Frozen Four over in St. Paul, where hockey is supposed to be played. What do you think the odds of them knocking off Duluth and maybe meeting up with Michigan or Notre Dame in the championship are?
You look at the Big Ten in hockey, and as Steve Rolick told me, a few weeks ago, when they got into the Frozen Four, that hey, you know, you play that in the Big Ten, you're playing the best, what could be the best team in the nation, week after week, and so for three teams to get in there, anybody's got a shot, especially the Buckeyes. I think the Buckeyes do knock off Minnesota Duluth, and then it'd be great to see the Buckeyes play Michigan in that final game and just make that rivalry even more.
It's gonna be tough, almost a road game for them in that situation, though.
Oh, absolutely! It's gonna be tough no matter what. You know, it's the first Frozen Four for the Buckeyes since 1998. Yeah. They're gonna have a lot of first time guys there. Remember, this is a team that made the tournament for the first time in a while last year and got knocked off by the same Minnesota Duluth team in the first round. So they might be looking out for a little bit of revenge as well coming into, I believe it's next Thursday.
A little bit of excitement for hockey down there with the Buckeyes and the Blue Jackets doing what they're doing right now.
Oh, absolutely. Not just the Ohio State men's hockey team, but the Ohio State women's hockey mm-hmm. team making it to the Frozen Four as well. For the first time in program history, we had head coach Nadine Marazzo on Waterwall Sports delivered by the Nanos the other week. And she's talking about how it's only our second season, a great turnaround for the program, and they can keep it up. The men's team's playing well. The Blue Jackets are still in the hunt right now in third in the Metro, trying to get another playoff spot. And it looks like it's going to be them in Pittsburgh again. Hopefully the Blue Jackets can get that first playoff series win. That would be great for this franchise and to get them going and possibly getting towards that Stanley Cup.
Let's hope so.
Well, Dunny, we certainly hope that you're enjoying the end of your vacation as you make the voyage straight up 77 back to our state capital. Thank you as always for the time, my friend, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good, guys. Enjoy. Hey, can I call back when you guys play that Tones, the Windows Indians tickets?
You, my friend, unfortunately, are not eligible to win those Indians tickets. But when I'm in Columbus,
darn.
When I'm in Columbus next month, I'll give you a high five and maybe I'll bring down one of those mint chocolate chip milkshakes that Douglas has been promising me for the last 6.5 years. How about that?
Done deal.
All right, good stuff. Donnie, thanks again.
Have a good one, guys.